From time to time, we all need to be re-energized. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how to reignite our passion for God.
There ought to be some men in this room that ought to say, by the grace of God, none of these things are going to move me. I'm going to be a real man of God, bound in the Spirit. Not wearing my feelings right here, so that if somebody doesn't do what I want or give me my parking spot or call me just enough times, I'm going to quit. No, I'm not here in the flesh. I'm here in the Spirit.
Life can get busy. Responsibilities, relationship pressures, and schedule challenges can all feel overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to pause, evaluate, and start again fresh. In our series, Reignite, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants to transform through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have ever felt stuck or powerless to change your environment, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reignite Your Ministry.
We live in a constantly changing society, and if you're like me, it's hard to keep up with it. You've got to call your son over to turn on the VCR or help you figure out how to work some electronics, and it seems like about the time you get just the right phone, there's a new one with more technology, or about the time you get just the right computer memory, there's something else you're supposed to add, and we just can't hardly keep up with the change, and it seems like there's much change in America today. Constantly, we hear of people that are moving, the mobility of society for 25 cents here or for the greener grass there. It seems like people are just on the move. Things are changing. America is changing. Changing the definition of the family and changing issues and laws related to drugs. And much of the change is not for the better. Nevertheless, change is in the land today. And that's why I'm so thankful for Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, where God said, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." I'm thankful this morning for an unchanging God. I'm thankful that the Ten Commandments are still true. I'm thankful that the Word of God stands like a rock undaunted. Nevertheless, we live in a day of unprecedented change. As we come to the text this morning, we see a man who would not be changed in the midst of pressure. We see a man who said, "I will not be moved. None of these things will move me. I'm going to be faithful no matter what may come." Paul is just finishing his third missionary journey. He has gone from Ephesus up into Macedonia to confirm and exhort the saints there. And then he traveled back toward Miletus, where he would spend time with the pastors from Ephesus before he went on his way to Jerusalem. And so it is in this passage where the Apostle Paul is challenging and exhorting pastors that they would stand true and that they would not be moved and that they would stay faithful even when difficulty comes their way. I believe if you intend to be a Bible-believing Christian, you must determine that you will not bend, you will not bow, and you will not move. And if you do not have that determination, it is very likely that you will bend, bow, or move. In fact, I believe there are three decisions that you must make this morning if you will say with the Apostle Paul, "None of these things move me." And I want you to notice in our notes this morning, Paul says, first of all, that people will not move him. People will not move me. Now in the text we read this morning, verse 22, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Paul knew that everywhere he went, there would be some type of an overwhelming burden just because he preached the gospel. Look up a few verses, if you would, and notice there in verse number 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." It seemed everywhere he went, someone was waiting. There were those lying in wait, ready to attack, ready to persuade converts against the gospel of Christ. And so it was that he did not know what would be there in Jerusalem, but he knew that there would be a challenge waiting him there. I don't mean to be discouraging this morning, but I can promise you this, that right around the corner from today, if you intend to live for Jesus tomorrow, the devil is there waiting to discourage and to pounce on you and to try to stop you. I mean, if he would tempt Jesus Christ himself in the Judean wilderness, he's going to tempt you and he's going to try you, and he'll often use people to discourage you along the way. The Bible is very clear that Paul had many burdens, and burdens from the Roman Empire, burdens from the Jewish leaders. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 11:28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, all the care of the churches. And yet there were many challenges that faced him along the way. And yet in the midst of that, he says, none of these things move me. Now, how could he say that? How could Paul the Apostle determine, how could he say, like some of you men need to say, nothing's going to get me out of the house of God. Nothing's going to get me out of my marital vow. Nothing's going to deter me from living for God. How could he say that with such a confidence? And I want you to see why. Notice it says in verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. I go bound in the Spirit. Would you say that phrase with me, please? I go bound in the Spirit. Here was a man who was bound. He was bound in the Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been bound in the Spirit about anything? I mean, are we doing church this morning? Is this just a calendar item that we're checking off? Or are we walking in the Spirit today? Did the Holy Spirit bring us here today? How many of you recognize that the marriage altar is a blessed place, and a place where the Holy Spirit superintends, and the marriage vow is to be spiritually a binding vow? You see, we've got to get off this idea that we're just here today, gone tomorrow, faithful to our spouse if we feel like it, or if we don't feel like it, maybe we're not. Hey, we've got to get out of the idea that maybe we'll come to church, maybe we won't, maybe we'll witness, maybe we won't. Paul said, listen, I know this one thing. The Holy Spirit is moving in my life, and I am bound of the Spirit. This word bound describes that it was not of himself, but it was God's Spirit prompting him and moving him to witness and to take the gospel from city to city. I'm going to tell you right now, we need in America some preachers that are bound in the Spirit to preach. I mean, they're called. I mean, there's a moving on their heart. I mean, they know that when they stand behind the pulpit, they're not standing there because there was nothing better to do. They are bound in the Spirit to preach Jesus Christ. Yea, woe unto them if they preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe this morning we need some men in this church that are bound in the Spirit to get to the house of God and to pray for the preacher and to witness and to pass out gospel tracks and to sing and to say, listen, I'm not doing this as a hobby. There's a moving of God in my heart to be a part of what God is doing at Lancaster Baptist Church. I mean, I'm bound, and I'm not going to let people that make fun of me discourage me, and I'm not going to let people that say things about me discourage me. Why? Because I'm not doing this for people. I'm doing this for God. Have you come to that place in your life? Are you bound in the Spirit, or is this just a cultural moment? Are you just here for your girlfriend? You just here for your friend? Or are you here in the Spirit this morning? I'm asking you the question. Are you bound in the Spirit? And so we see here this morning, he was a bound man. Notice secondly, he was a burdened man. You see, he wasn't going to Jerusalem on a sightseeing tour. He wasn't going to Jerusalem because there was nothing better to do. He was going to Jerusalem because people needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a burden on his heart. The Bible says in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Jesus said whenever he saw the people, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I remember 30 years ago coming to the valley, and Terry and I would drive up into the foothills up above Palmdale, and we would oftentimes take a little snack there to eat, and we would look out over Lancaster and Palmdale, and we would pray, dear God, help us to see not just the city lights, but help us to see that there are people that live in the Antelope Valley who need you. And we believe you brought us here, not because of affordable housing, not because just an opportunity arose, but you brought us here, Lord, because people need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm saying we've got to have that kind of a burden. You've got to not see people merely because of the traffic jam or because of the crime. We've got to see people need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul said, I'm bound in the Spirit. I'm burdened for the city of Jerusalem. Notice what he says in Acts 18 and verse 5. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. I'm going to ask you this question again. Have you ever been pressed in the Spirit to testify for Jesus? Has there ever been a moment when you knew in your heart that God was prompting you to tell someone about Jesus? And by the way, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to exalt Jesus Christ. And Paul said he was pressed in his spirit. Has there been a time when you were with relatives at the holidays, or maybe with some friends from work, and maybe it was lunchtime, and the Spirit of God pressed in your spirit? Hey, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Yeah, but I get nervous and my palms get sweaty, Pastor, when I'm pressed like that. But I want to encourage you, when the Spirit of God is moving, yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Paul was bound in the Spirit. Paul was pressed in the Spirit. He wasn't going through the motions like the average Baptist today. He was doing what he did because God was moving in his life. And he said, I don't know what's going to happen over there in Jerusalem. I don't know what will befall me. I don't know what people may do to me. He says, but this one thing I do know, I'm not going to let people move me. Have you come to that place where you're not going to let some critic in the neighborhood move you? You're not going to let a church member that disappointed you move you. You're not going to let some circumstance, your child didn't get a good grade, or you didn't get a part at work that you wanted. I mean, what's it take for you to say, that's it, I'm out of here, man? Paul said, people aren't going to move me. None of these things move me, because I didn't come here in the flesh. I came here in the Spirit. I'm bound by the Spirit of God. I say it again. What you ought to pray for is a God-called, God-fearing, Spirit-led preacher. Amen. Not the kind that's here for a while looking for something else. We ought to say, God brought me here. God led me here. And Paul said, I am bound to come here. I remember years ago when I came here 30 years ago, a deacon pulled me aside. He grabbed me by the arm and I shook his hand. I said, yes, sir. He said, Brother Chappell, I want to tell you something. He said, when you get down there to Lancaster, you need to stay in that church. He said, you need to be faithful. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to tell you, it's just too hard on people when preachers just show up and then they just leave. He said, so you determined to be faithful. I said, yes, sir. Do you know, 6 months later, that man left his church? I thought, I guess it doesn't hurt a pastor when someone just leaves. I guess it's just a one-way thing. I believe today more than ever we need pastors and we need godly men who will say, I am bound in the Spirit. I am standing together for truth. And we're in this to pray together and serve together and build together. And none of these things move me. People will not move me from the call of God upon my life. Notice secondly, not only did he say people won't move me, but he said problems won't move me. Now notice the verse again, verse 22. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Notice, first of all, he says the trials are not going to move me. He says the trials may come. I don't know the things that will befall me there. Now, you say, well, what kind of things were normal for Paul in his ministry? Well, look in your notes there at 2 Corinthians 11:24. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He says, hey, that's been my repertoire so far, that's been sort of the norm so far. I don't know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, but probably there'll be a whole lot more of it. And I want to ask you this morning, what kind of a trial does it take for you to say, I'm out of here, man? What kind of a trial does it take for you to say, that's it? I want you to recognize so oftentimes Christians today, well, I don't know, I just think it might be a little easier here, a little easier there. I want you to recognize today, oftentimes it's something like this. Well, the job didn't treat me just right. Or, well, I didn't get to sing the solo part. Or, I just don't understand. And Paul said, I'm not going to let a trial move me None of these things move me. And I want you to see in the scripture, oftentimes he was beaten. Oftentimes he was forsaken. Oftentimes he was treated with great pain and difficulty. Perils in the city and perils in the wilderness and perils in the sea and perils amongst false brethren. And yet he said, I will not let the trial move me. You see, you've got to determine, what's it going to take for you to move? What's it take to get you to that place to say, you know, the people, it's just too much. The problems, they're just too much. James Cash Penny, successful businessman in the 1920s and had amassed quite a fortune until the Great Depression hit in 1929. And James Cash Penny had many bills that became due and much pressure that came into his life. And history records that he developed a terrible case of the shingles and tremendously painful malady in his body. And he went to the hospital and couldn't get rid of the shingles. And he had such anxiety. His nerves were now being adversely affected. And he began to think that even life itself was gonna evaporize and he was going to die. And he felt as though perhaps at any moment he could die. James Cash Penny, one night in the hospital, became so convinced that he would die that night, he wrote a little will to his parents, to his children, about what to expect from his parents and about what they could expect to have left when he died. James Cash Penny said concerning that night, I was so broken physically and filled with despair, unable to even see a ray of hope. I had nothing to live for. I felt I hadn't had a friend left in the world. Even my family was against me. That night, as he was sure that he would die, he thought he heard someone singing down the hallway. Sure enough, he heard it a little louder, and he asked someone nearby in the nurse's station to help him and get him over to a place where he might hear the singing. And they came and they assisted him out to the singing, which was in the hospital chapel. And as he listened more intently, and then as he went into the back of the chapel, he heard the song more clearly. The song said, be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. And the Spirit of God began to minister to his heart. He began to remember the lessons from Sunday school and from church. And James Cash Penny later said, suddenly something happened. I can't explain it. It was like a miracle. Within 20 seconds, I felt as though the darkness was lifted and the burdens were lifted. All of the worry left him. God revitalized. God gave him a restart with spiritual determination. And from that moment on until the day he died, James Cash Penny established 1,660 department stores because he realized, listen, problems come and trials come, but God will take care of you. And I don't know what's on your shoulders today, and I don't know what burden you bear with your health and with your family, but I do want to remind you this morning, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. The trials will come. Notice the testings. He said there's going to be problems. There's going to be trials. There's going to be testings. Notice in verse 23, he says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth. He said, I know the Holy Spirit is working in Jerusalem, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. He said, as sure as the Lord is at work there, there's going to be more bonds, there's going to be more afflictions, there's going to be more difficulty. But thank God he counted it all joy. And thank God, because he was bound in the Spirit, he went to the place where God had led him. I'm here to tell you today that if you intend to be a witness for Christ, if you intend to be used of God, there will come trials and testings in your life. I remember around our first Thanksgiving time here, we had just kind of got going in our building downtown, and I'd set up a little office down there in the basement of the old building at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard. Had my books up on a shelf, had my ordination certificate and college degree, and it was kind of nice to get a little place there. And we had a little room where I was preaching. We didn't have the big auditorium yet, but we had a little room upstairs, and we'd put some carpet, and I'd put a couple of speakers and a microphone. We were running 30 or 40. We didn't really need a sound system, but I was going to blast him out for Jesus. Amen. Had that set up there, and I came into work one morning and noticed the door was propped open. I went down into the little office downstairs, and someone had broken in and dumped all the books out on the floor and poured red Kool-Aid all over everything, broke the diplomas and broke the ordination certificate. Went upstairs and someone had stolen those brand new speakers, that microphone, and I realized in those very first few months that there's a real devil who is an adversary, who's like a roaring lion, who wanted me to move. He did not want me in Lancaster, California. And just several times along the way, he sent his messengers by just to say, move. You can get a church that can pay you. You don't need this. Move. You don't need this trial like this. But I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, he's kept us in this place. I think of Gracia Burnham and her husband, missionary Burnham, who went to the Philippines on Mindanao Island. Martin and Gracia were there preaching the gospel. One weekend, they took a few days to rest and went to a little hotel near the water in the Philippines. The Abu Sayyaf came and took them away as they were there resting, took them up into the mountains, tied this missionary couple to a tree where they lived for weeks and weeks, never released them to eat, never released them to use the restroom, just tied them to the trees like animals. Finally, a rescue team came to take the Burnhams away, and during the process, Martin was killed. Gracia later testified at a ladies' meeting these words: sometimes I wondered, why did Martin die when everyone's praying he wouldn't? Why does the scripture lead you to believe that your prayer will be answered a certain way? People all over the world have been praying for us, praying that we would both get out, but Martin did not get out. I used to have God in somewhat of a theological box. What I know now is that God is God and I am not. The world is in a mess because of sin, not because of God. Some awful things may happen to me, but God does what is right. He makes good out of bad. You know what I find? Sometimes the things that bother me and the things that bother you, it's rather embarrassing how little it takes to bother us. It's rather embarrassing what it takes to get us to move. It's rather embarrassing what it takes to get us offended. Rather embarrassing what it takes to get us to quit serving God. Paul said, none of these things move me. None of these things. People will not move me. Problems will not move me. I'm saying, if you're not bound in the Spirit, then you're just a step away from leaving the will of God. None of these things move me. He said, I will not let people move me. I will not let problems move me. Notice thirdly, he said, I will not let pride move me. Pride won't move me. Now stay with me for these final moments, because I believe more people leave God's will because of pride than any other thing. It's not the problem, and it's not the other people, what they're saying. It's how we respond in our pride. It's the attitude that we get that says, hey, I don't deserve this, man. I'm out of here. These people don't know what they got. Why? They don't understand. This company doesn't understand how good I am. And because of pride, people make decisions and they leave the will of God. Now notice what Paul says in verse 24. Everybody with me so far? Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now pride would not move him. Notice first of all, because he did not overvalue himself. Many times people try to spiritualize. Pastors leave their pastorates, and people leave churches, and people leave companies, and husbands leave wives, and wives leave husbands, and they try to spiritualize it, you know, that look at, I deserve better than that. They weren't treating me right, and the company should have known, and my husband didn't, and my wife didn't, and before we know it, it's more about I.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.